Bill Lazier was the closest thing to a father that I ever had. My own father died when I was 23, and he never took the time to teach me anything about the difference between right and wrong, about core values, about character. I came of age in the late 1970s in the post-Vietnam, post-Watergate era that felt devoid of any grand sense of cause or direction or purpose. By the time I graduated from college in 1980, I'd never had a conversation with any of my classmates about commitment to service as one possible theme for our lives. And we rarely discussed the idea of living to a set of core values that should guide our careers. By my early 20s, I had this gnawing feeling that I'd missed something essential, something I couldn't quite put my finger on. And then I met Bill. Shortly before my 25th birthday, during my second year of study at the Stanford Graduate School of Business, I got hit with a lightning bolt of WHO luck, the type of luck that comes as a chance meeting with a person who changes your life. The academic dean had offered Bill, a successful entrepreneur and company builder in his 50s, the opportunity to join the faculty and teach an elective course. Bill had accepted the Stanford position to share his practical wisdom, shifting his energies from building young companies to building young leaders. I'd sought a spot in a different elective course, but the random lottery system that apportioned class assignments put me in Bill's first ever class offering. I went to my classmates and I said, "Anybody know anything about this Professor Lazier?" Everyone shook their heads. "No." "Well, I guess I'll just go to the first couple of sessions and see what he's like." It's a good thing I did. Had the course sorting mechanism randomly assigned me to a different class, or if I dropped the course, it's extremely unlikely that I'd have launched myself down the path I've taken with my life's work. This book would not exist. Nor would any of my other authored or co-authored books, Not Built to Last, Not Good to Great, Not How the Mighty Fall, Not Great by Choice. None of the research and resulting books that I've had the privilege to write would have happened. And my very character, indeed, my deepest core values, would have been different. Bill somehow took an interest in me. I think he sensed that I was like this high-energy propulsion machine, but with no clear guiding purpose. He regularly invited my wife, Joanne, and me to his home for dinner with him and his wife, Dorothy. And he kept doing so after graduation, pushing me to think hard about how best to deploy my talents and to make a distinctive contribution. He did this in a kind but persistent way, inspiring me to commit to a life of research, writing, and teaching. Then in 1988, when I had just turned 30, Bill made a truly gutsy move on my behalf, and my life changed for good. The Stanford Graduate School of Business suddenly and unexpectedly lost a star professor who'd been teaching a popular secondary offering of the course on entrepreneurship and small business that Bill taught. The academic deans asked Bill if he knew of anyone who could take over the teaching spot for the coming year while they looked for a real replacement. Bill suggested me. The academic dean expressed skepticism, but Bill fought for me. "I believe in him," said Bill, "and I'll take responsibility to coach him, since he'll be teaching the same course as me, just a different section." Having no other alternative, the deans relented, hoping that Bill would make sure I didn't mess up too badly. Imagine you're a young pitcher way down in the minor leagues, and one day the bus carrying the pitchers for a major league team breaks down on the way to Yankee Stadium. The game's about to start, and the managers are scrambling to get someone out on the mound to throw. And you just happen to be standing there. Then someone steps in on your behalf and says, "Hey, kid, grab a glove and ball and go out there and pitch." Well, that's the way I felt stepping into the Stanford MBA classroom, filling in for a star professor. Bill placed upon me a huge burden of responsibility. He trusted me. He believed in me. And I didn't want to let him down. He also gave me the lecture about performing best when it counts the most. It's as if we were in the dugout before my chance of a lifetime game, with Coach Bill telling me, "This is your shot." if you pitch a near-perfect game, they'll let you pitch again, and this can change your whole life. Now go out there and throw. I threw in the Yankee Stadium of Stanford Business School for the next 7 seasons.